Welcome back, everybody. This is the third hour of Swan Song Stories, and we have a battle to complete. We have a laser race to perform.
Yes.
I heard the only man who ever raced a laser and won was Brumbo Tungus.
True story.
But you know, that's an unfair race. You can't outrace Brumbo Tungus. But
Brumbo Tungus is like, no one knows who he is right now. I mean,
yeah, we originally talked about doing a Swan Song Stories about Brumbo Tungus, but we didn't want to kill everyone's minds. So why don't you two make a attack roll on this poor sucker down here, and we'll see which of you, if either of you, hit the poor bastard.
I take it my bonus is over.
Yes, your bonus is definitely over.
And their AC is what?
AC is 4.
We get plus 1 because we're in the position.
Yeah, you've got a higher ground. You can actually take plus 2 from higher ground.
Oh.
Do I take minus 1 still?
Yes, yeah, you're still fucked up from the drugs.
And you told Wheat he was 4 AC?
Yeah, he's 4.
Okay, do you want to count down? Wait, let me do myself. Minus 1, plus 2.
Oh, sorry, I already shot. I failed.
You won.
3, 2, 1, go.
My shit like fucking totally goes out to side.
I'm still like lining it up. Yeah. Let's see if it pays off. Okay. Did you do burst or no?
I didn't.
Okay, I won't do that then.
Just to be sporting.
Yeah.
That would make the scene even funnier, though. Like, he's just like, pow, and she's like,
so, like, you both just miss. Like, the guy, like, notices that he's being shot at, and like, looks over. But also, all of his buddies just got killed. So I think he's gonna beat a retreat. He's gonna start running. You can both take one more shot at him, as he takes off.
I guess I look over, and I'm like, double or nothing.
It was just warm up, man.
Okay.
Just getting our guns warm.
First shot's a practice shot.
4 and then 2.
Well, and he's running now, so you can take another bonus. Like, he's panicking. He's not trying to like stay undercover or anything.
Oh, it's 3008 damage. I like go to shake your hand and I'm like, congratulations. You won the race.
I shake.
All right. So the fight is over. The fight ends, and you know, there were some survivors on their side, but they fled at the beginning of the fight. People know that you're here, obviously, and that you're still alive because they've gone back to report, and your equipment's being jammed. So where do you like meet up again? Where do you go to like talk things out and like figure out what the next thing to do is?
I mean, I think that the house makes the most sense, right? Like, we would take this cover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I would assume that everyone would return back to the house.
Okay. Yeah, so you're in the ground floor of what used to be a decently sized suburban house. There's a big chunk of the ceiling and the top floor like blown off and kind of crumbled into the house. Obviously it's been, there was some fire, so the walls are all scorched and the wallpaper's all peeled. And there's debris, there's a couch that was all burned up, kind of scattered throughout it. And and so you're in the kitchen of this house. And, yeah, 2112's got his like, you know, his leg bandaged up, and he's off to one side, and he's like, Orbital Command, come in, Orbital Command. Ah, come on, fucking thing. And he turns around and he's like, it's outside interference.
Can I walk up to the comms gal and just say, if comms are down, like, you got a paper map to carry those fucking things anymore?
He's like, she shakes his head. He's like, no, I mean, that's sort of why we're here, right? It's a recon mission. I guess we know they're out in the subs, but he kind of like looks down. He's like, I don't know, Mr. S. And like looks over to you.
Oh, I made it back too.
Yeah. You're all back in the building.
Okay. I would, kind of look at him and say, I think our communications are jammed, so we'll need to hold position and wait for reinforcements for the time being. Just so you know, I did notice that you did not follow direct orders. When we get back, you will be facing some form of punishment. It's going to be a little bit longer before we ever see a mister on your chest.
And he kind of just like, he just scowls a little, but doesn't give you any back talk.
Damn.
And yeah, and then the PK, she looks at you, Mr. Sakarian, and she's like, we can't just hang out here. And if we wait for reinforcements, who knows how long it's going to be. And plus, they're going to come back.
Well, where were do we know where our tank? We at least know where we were escorting this tank to, right?
Yeah. You were supposed to get into, you're supposed to follow the main road. You're about like 20K from the place where you're going to set up like a comm point and relay back that you'd set up. Then they were going to give you further instructions.
Maybe I turn to Mr. S and say, we know where we were supposed to go. Should we just go there?
Excellent recommendation, Mr. Fugazi. I think we should continue with the plan as was ordered. I think that's a good call. And in your defense, what's her name or number?
Which the woman that was just like,
yeah, let's say we shouldn't say her.
She's PK778.
PK778, that's an excellent recommendation. That's thinking on your toes. I appreciate hearing that. We should take cover as we make it our way over there, though. We're diminishing our numbers. Can't take another direct engagement.
Okay. So it's looking at your watch, it's probably like 2 or 3 in the morning. Dawn is supposed to be around like 7 local. So if you do, you want to move under cover of relative night, or do you want to wait until daytime?
I think we would go under night probably.
Yeah, so just get a move on now.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay. So you I guess you like make sure everybody's good, gather up your gear. And what's your moving protocol like? Are you going like from house to house? Or are you just walking down the main street? Like you can imagine like the territory here. Think about all of the footage or photos you've ever seen of like, you know, war torn cities, like areas that were, you know, occupied and had office buildings and stuff, but you know, lots of bombing and conflict in the streets have reduced them to kind of like a almost sort of post-apocalyptic feeling, like buildings collapsed and cars burned out and stuff. You know, there's cover, but it also means slowing way down if you're doing like a building to building move up through the streets.
Okay.
So what do you think? How do you want to proceed?
I think it's I don't know. I think we're you mean like which route?
Yeah, like just how do you want to get from here to there? The original plan was just to take the main road up because the intelligence reports you had were that there was nobody here.
And
so it's unusual that you walked into an ambush this far out from the main city.
And we were only supposed to escort the grav tank. There wasn't anything in it or a person anything.
Yeah, the grav tank, it wasn't so much an escort mission. It was just the grav tank was there in case you ran into like vehicles that needed to be attacked, right? It was your armor support, but it got wrecked right quick. So, yeah. Yeah, it wasn't that the tank was like part of the mission necessarily. It was just assigned to you. There was some infantry. And then a piece of armor, and then armors.
If it's Sakarian's call, he would kind of evaluate when we were expected to be there and what route would get us closest to that, but while not obviously just like running in a straight line, but something along that.
Yeah. And I think you can make your way based on. Well, let's make a tactics roll.
Okay.
I'll tell you what useful stuff you remember from your...
That's a 2d6, right?
Yep, g6 plus your ranks and tactics plus intelligence.
I have Vaughn and tactics, I believe. Did you clarify?
If somebody else that has tactics wants to help, they can.
See if it matters.
It doesn't matter.
I mean, it could make it better.
It would make it a 10 if somebody helps, if they can succeed.
Okay. I will.
Okay.
I don't have it.
So Fugazi, what's your contribution to this conversation?
So like I get ready, I'm like, all right, listen, I read Sorry, guys, I don't feel very good.
He gets like halfway. Yeah, he says that much or whatever, and I'm like, Mr. Fugazi, are you under the influence of narcotics?
Sicarian, I'm fine. I wasn't feeling so hot. Please continue. Go. I'll just go over here.
The battle was intense for all of us, friend. I'm sure you'll be fine.
I'll be fine. Trust me. Don't worry about it.
In Wheat's defense, this isn't the most fucked up double ones we've ever seen, so it's fine.
Oh no.
Yeah.
So Sicarian, he's of no help to you.
Yeah.
But you remember enough of the briefing to kind of get an idea. So there's essentially a mall, like a commercial cluster of buildings, maybe like 4K up the road. That would be a good place to like settle in and like reconnoiter from there. But the main goal was a former government building, 20K up the road. And it's got built into it. The reason why they wanted to hit that building is because it had some like comms equipment and like a bunker built into it. And that was going to be kind of like forward base to push further into the city.
Okay.
The fastest way is going to be hitting the road, but you could go to like the mall first. You could go towards that and then move. The other thing you could do is you could try to figure out where you're getting jammed from and try to deal with that. That's another option.
I think what especially a young Sakari would recommend is just getting to the mission objective, and that's what the group kind of suggests as well.
Okay.
I'm kind of just looking at you for guidance, like waiting on the next order.
Yeah.
All right. So you're just going to make your way through the suburbs towards there. And do you want to stop when it gets light out, or do you want to just like keep going?
Keep going.
Yeah.
Okay. I would take point, and I'd have my plasma, whatever the fuck it's called, plasma disruptor, projector.
Your projector. Okay.
Out and ready to miss.
Okay. All right.
Dramatic action.
So let's have you roll. Let's have you just make a luck save. I want to see if you
flat d20
run into anything. Yeah.
Crit.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. So you manage to avoid really encountering anybody. Like there's probably some signs of troop movement around this area, but you don't see any troops and you don't get ambushed or anything like that happens. And the more you move through the rubble of this kind of bombed out suburbs, the more it occurs to you that like, that wasn't just like a patrol, like on the road. Like that was an ambush set for your group, for your recon squad. So yeah, there isn't like wandering, a colonial force troops out here anywhere.
Yeah, he definitely didn't say it out loud, but that was something he was aware of. And
okay,
the reason he didn't say it out loud is in case, like, it's not necessarily immediately thinking someone in the group betrayed them, but he's not withholding the idea that it could be possible.
Okay, cool. And I think that we cut to it's daytime now. It's probably the fall, so it's a little cold. Most of the terrain around here is like desert. So think like American Southwest, like kind of rocky desert, maybe some cacti. At one point, the comms guy 2112 stops and you hear him, he's like, well, hold on. And like puts his hands up for everybody to stop.
Like we all, military take cover type of thing, but still stay closer.
Yeah, and so he like puts his head up to his helmet and he's like, hang on, and like pulls his backpack off and opens the computer panel in the back and types some stuff in. And you can hear he's got a like speaker on the side of the pack. You can hear he's tuning into like a frequency. And then you hear a distress signal. It's a repeating signal in Spanish. And does anybody in the group speak Spanish?
I do.
Hablo español.
Yeah, Fugazi does.
Okay, so Fugazi, you understand it. It's a little like patchy. The signal's not very strong, but it doesn't sound like it's on a military band, so it's not getting like jammed. It's not one of the commonly used military bands. So either that or it's very nearby. And the signal repeating is like, you know, we've been attacked by Royal Colonial Forces. There are several families hiding out at like this address. Please, if you are friendly, if you can offer help, we don't have a lot of food and we're afraid to leave the building. Like, please come help us. So it's just this repeating distress signal.
Yeah, I just turn to him and let him know, like, it's a distress call. Sounds about as legit as it can, but based off of what just happened, I don't know what I trust around here.
Can you give us a little bit of an idea, Adam, in terms of what we're doing here, Fotenera, like who we're representing, who we're fighting, and stuff like that?
Yeah. So the planet Oninsa has had for you know several generations. It was populated by colonists originally, and they lived here and built the civilization that you kind of see now. But there's another force, this royal family, like colonial force, that came from elsewhere. They came from outside the sector. They're basically like a generation ship from another colony, and they decided, okay, we're going to set up on Oninsa, and they're basically systematically taking over the planet. So the government of Oninsa paid the Fotenhauer, because they didn't have a huge military of their own. They paid the Fotenhauer to come in and like help fight off these invaders, basically.
Okay.
So you're fighting on their side, trying to keep the royal family from taking over the planet.
Do we know how many?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Do we know how many squads like us there are?
Yeah. I mean, you're predominantly set up in the like mountainous regions of the country where you know, the Oninsan people have like fled for the most part. They've abandoned the cities. Their small military got their asses kicked by these more advanced army. And, you know, you're really trying to like spread out into the higher area cities first to establish a foothold and then try to seize like the capital or the bigger cities.
So are there like dozens of these squads or hundreds?
Yeah, I mean, there's like a significant amount of Fotenhauer troops, but you know, Oninsa can only afford so many, and Fotenhauer is big, so you're all over the place. You're only in any given conflict as much as you're paid to be. So,
okay.
I think after Fugazi translates that to me, I just kind of look at the group and say, I'm of the mind that we have to check it out. We're here to liberate these people. We can't hear a message like that and move on, but I'm willing to hear your thoughts.
In terms of the...
Whether we move on or we move in.
I mean...
To be clear, Fugazi, I believe you to be under the influence of narcotics, so I'm counting you as maybe a half over right now.
All right, look. I don't need you judging me. All right, I've been judged before. All right, no. Look, I mean, what's more important to you? Answering this distress call or fulfilling our mission?
Yeah, PK pipes up and she's like, yeah, fuck these civvies. This isn't our job. Oh, we don't have any supplies. Oh, man, I'm sad. Fuck them.
I shoot her a glare like, talk when Mr. S talks to you.
She kind of just like shrugs. It's like, you're the boss.
Skarin, kind of like looks at him and is like, we're going in. You say it's not our job, it is our job. Our job is specifically to make it so that these people are liberated. You're young. He doesn't say that actually, because he's fucking young too. Never mind. That's old Skarin. He's just like, yeah, we're doing it. And says, follow me. Heads towards the beacon.
Okay. All right. So it's a few hours out from where you are on foot. They look like they're set up in like what used to be like a community center. I think we diagonal wipe to you're up on a hill, and you can see down below there's a you know, like a soccer field and a single story, like a flat building, maybe like an outdoor swimming pool and some tennis courts. And on the roof, there's, I don't speak Spanish, so I don't know what it actually says in Spanish, but in Spanish, they've like painted on the roof, like basically like, please help, or like SOS. I guess it would just be SOS on the roof. And there's a like a chain link fence kind of like around the perimeter of the building. And when you get to the edge of this little hill, 2112, he's like, yeah, signal's been getting stronger the closer we get to this place. It's coming from in there.
I kind of give a nod. I say, if this is some form of another ambush, it's probably best, since you guys are wounded especially, that you take a position to cover me, or perhaps set up kind of a counter ambush, and I'll go in, make sure it is just a family, and if it is, we can kind of take them under our wing, so to speak.
You don't want backup while you go in, Mr. S?
I look at Mr. Loss. I'm like, Mr. Loss, you are the backup. I need you guys out here in case I get surrounded again.
And on, and I go to find a good vantage point.
Okay. And if that seems like something we all agree on, then he just kind of makes his way down towards the door.
Okay. So the rest of the team's keeping an eye out from up above?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I'm like the mate if it is a trap, I guess.
Can you, Mr. Loss, can you make a perception roll for me?
Sure, I can.
Thank you.
Minus one. Can anyone help me with that?
I think Fugazi can help if that's what you're doing. You're like on lookout too.
Yeah, for sure.
What do I roll with it?
It's gonna be with intelligence.
So just one for assist?
I have to roll to plus one to assist. I have to succeed, and then that means you get the plus one.
Yep. Okay. All right. So you can ask me a question about the scene if you want. But you've got a good like overhead on the situation. You might miss some of the finer details. Is there anything specific you want to know about the scene that Sakarian's walking into?
I mean, maybe now that I'm up higher on a hill or something, are there windows looking inside where I can see hostile people inside that he's literally walking into?
You can't see through the windows. Like the windows are boarded. Some of them are boarded up. Others are too like dirty to like see through, but you do notice that the front doors of the like community center are, shut and have like a chain wrapped around the like front door. So locked from the outside.
Okay. So I guess before Mr. S gets too close, I just comms and I say, you see the chain on the door?
And our comms are working now, right?
No, you actually can't. You can't communicate with each other using the equipment you have.
Can I yell at him?
You can shout if you want to. Get his attention.
Oh, yeah. I guess just be mindful of chains. You know, I don't know if it means something bad. I don't know if... I don't know what this kind of situation looks like, to be honest, but it's locked from the outside.
Am I not too far away, you think, Adam? Or they just...
I think you can see them from here. Okay. Yeah, and you notice that, yeah, all the windows are like basically boarded up, and then the door is like, it's got a chain on the front door.
I kind of give like a thumbs up and walk over. Do I see anything like cameras or anything like that? Or any kind of, like, what do I see, I guess? That's what I'm asking.
You can make a check.
Nice.
Yeah, make a perception check, same thing.
Just check. I think I have a plus 500 in this.
Mega perception.
Got a solid zero in it. Dice God say that it's not meant to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're looking for things that are out of place specifically, but you don't. I don't think you see any like. Yeah, you don't
see any blood all over my visor. Can't
just it's all dried on there. You just can't get that out. You do see.
I give a thumbs up, but they notice that it's like actually like. They're here, and I give a thumbs up like over here.
Over there, hey. So the doors at one point, the front doors had they had this big like vinyl like sticker placed over the seal between the doors. And it's got a bunch of writing in Japanese that basically is like a warning from the colonial force. It's like, by edict of the new government of the planet of Odinza, this building is scheduled for destruction and is off limits. But someone's cut it with a knife. Like it's split down the middle of that, that like seal that was put on the door. But subsequently has chained the door shut.
Okay. I kind of get up to the door then, and I have, you know, my gun ready. Whatever process there is to prime it, he does that. And then he kind of puts his head up against the door and says, "We've received your beacon. My name is Mr. Sakarin from the Fotenhauer Group. I'm coming in. If you are friends, I recommend you don't fire." And then I'll just do my best to shoulder through it, I guess.
Okay. So you want to try to like break the...
I'm going to slam up against it, Adam. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Athletics, you think? Or?
Yeah, it's athletics with strength. There's no question of whether you're going to be able to do it. It's just how long it takes, like how many times you got to like slam your shoulder.
All right. I got it this time, guys. Hold on.
I'm still coming in. Hang on.
I got an 8.
Okay. Yeah. So you it takes a few shoulders at it, and it's quite loud. Like the chains are rattling and you're slamming into the door. So you don't hear this, but up on the hill, Fugazi, you think you hear, like an engine. You hear like a car or a Jeep or something, and it's getting louder. You're just this like faint, like a vehicle, and you can hear it like sort of pick up in volume.
I mean, because you said we could yell to one another in the...
I mean, you can shout to him, but everybody around you hears and, yeah. But he'd be able to hear you.
I might even just say, like, heads up, vehicle incoming.
Okay, so you hear that, Sakarin.
Oh, I do?
Yeah. Well, you hear because he shouts something. You're too busy. you hear a human voice yelling.
He's like, just kind of mutters to himself, like, we have so many tactical things to discuss when we get back to the base. I just proceed to blast the door. I mean, even if I do think there's a threat coming, I'm going to take cover inside or something like that.
Sure. Yeah, you slam through the door. And, there's like a hallway beyond into a little, like, obviously, like, very disused and kind of beat up, like, lobby. And there's like pictures along both walls of what the community center must have looked like when it was being built. They're much nicer. They're all covered in dust now, but there's like, you know, the opening ceremony. You can see like a kind of fancy looking dude in a suit, you know, digging with a silver or with a gold shovel. It doesn't look like, you don't see anyone immediately. Nobody like comes out to meet you. They text you though. So
nice.
From the president. Come on upstairs, buddy.
I just kind of like, there's nothing here. There's nobody moving, nothing.
Not on the inside, no.
He kind of looks in, then it's just like, son of a bitch. And then he's going to take like one of those super try-hard Tom Cruise military jogs.
Okay.
Kind of running through it. Not necessarily yelling or anything like that, but just looking for human activity anywhere.
Can you make a tech save for me?
Yeah.
Thanks.
We can just skip to the part where the explosion goes off, though, if you want.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. We can just jump to that part.
Roll d20. It's a fail.
Okay, all right. So here's what happens outside. You see Mr. Sakarin, like, jam the door open, take a look around inside, and then he walks into the darkness of the inside of the lobby, and we get a super tight close-up of the boot of your power armor breaking a tripwire. And then there's like a quick like beep, 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 and then the whole front of the building like explodes. There's dust and debris and sudden burst of fire. So let me see how much damage you take here.
For visual effects, I believe it's just after I say son of a bitch.
I also started freaking out outside. I'm like, he's fine though. He's Mr. S. He's going to be fucking fine. And I like grab Fugazi and I like shake him by the shoulders. Like, he's fine.
Everything's fine. If I say it loudly, it'll work. Okay, let me see how much this does, because it's basically just like a grenade. Okay, 1 point less damage for each point of AC below 6, so -5. So let's see if it hurts you or if it's just an inconvenience. Okay, so yes, it does hurt. You take 9 damage.
What?
As the explosive, the IED just go off and like collapse the front of the lobby on you. And that happens, and that sound of the Jeep is getting louder, right? It's definitely coming at you from here. P PK and the other grunts are looking at the two of you like, shit, Scarion's fucked. They're coming to get us. What are we going to do? It's game over, man. So they're looking at the two of you like, what the fuck are we going to do?
I point my gun at the one guy. I'm like, shut the fuck up. Mr. Scarion's fine.
Yeah, and 2112
with a mushroom cloud just over his shoulder.
Yeah, exactly. <We're>, smoke.
We are all we're all within talking distance though now.
Well, except for Scarion, but yeah.
How far is he from us? I mean, we heard this explosion, right? We would.
Yeah, I mean, he's not that far away. He's maybe like.
Well, I hear an explosion. My instinct is to go check on my men. So.
Yeah. He's only maybe like 100 meters away, down a hill, like across a parking lot. But you're with the other guys, so you could all hustle down towards the rubble where Scarion is, or.
I guess I turn to Loss and say, Loss, listen, I think there's an incoming truck, vehicle, something. It could have bad guys in it. Set up in a position where I can go check on Mr. S and get him at least back here.
For sure. They'll drop on you when you're down there, so better believe in us.
All right. That's what we'll do then. They'll set up where the Jeep is, and I'll come try to get Mr. S.
Sorry, we haven't played in forever, but Adam, can I ignore that damage?
I think it's only during combat.
Once per combat, you mean to get?
Yeah, it's once per combat, and this isn't combat. That was a trap.
Okay.
Yeah, but yes, good to remember. Okay, do you want Mr. Lost? Do you want to try to like stay hidden? Do you want to hide?
Yeah, I definitely want to stay hidden. Because, I mean, they heard the explosion, so they might not, they might just think we all went down there, you know? They might not think there's anyone up here, so.
Okay.
Best bet.
Okay, so why don't you make a stealth roll?
All right, we got a +1 to stealth.
So. Yeah, you're pretty good at hiding.
And then, is it Dex that goes with it?
Yes, yeah. Whoop. Okay. All right. So you find a place to hide. There's like some formerly like tailored hedges on the edge of this hill. And you can hide behind some of those. And you can see now a dust cloud coming from the west where the Jeep or the vehicle or whatever is kicking up dirt on its way over. You figure at the rate it's coming, you probably got about 30 seconds before it pulls up on you. Meanwhile, you're gonna lead the grunts down to the pile of rubble.
Yeah, okay. It's Scarion.
Okay. He's there. He's buried under the rubble. Scarion, what do they see when they get down there? Like you're under a bunch of like timber and brick and stuff. And you're pretty banged up. But are you like already trying to like pull yourself free, or do they find you?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where if I wasn't in power armor, I'm obliterated and gone. But
yeah.
With the power armor, maybe like one of my arms is janky. Technology, you know, like the suit itself is not powering that arm anymore. So I'm manually lifting 40 pounds of metal or whatever. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, I'm okay-ish. Yeah.
I guess I go and put my hand out for Mr. Scarion, and I say like, did it look both ways? Like help him back up.
I think as he jokes, I say like, did anyone get the license plate number of that truck that can feel it. I'm going to feel it for a while.
I don't think you heard me, but there's a vehicle approaching. We got to get you back to that compound as quick as
possible. Oh, there's literally a truck.
It's a truck. Yes.
Yep. Get me out of here, please.
Okay. Right. So where do you want to be when the truck shows up? Here, let me give you another map. Just
yeah.
Where shit's at. So there's like the main community center. This map's a lot more zoomed out than the other one. I'll actually draw a rectangle on here.
So we as the grunts with them, and then I guess the comms guys recover.
Yeah, you can show me. I'll show you where you're hiding out at. Okay, so there's the building, and then down here there's like the edge of this hill. So it kind of goes like down. And there's like bushes along the ridge like this. You can kind of see those. And then Mr. Sakarian's brief run in with the explosion. It's like kind of in this vicinity. So there's, you know, some fire and some rubble and stuff where the front door would be. And then kind of over here, there's like on the left side of the building, there's like some tennis courts and there's an empty swimming pool on the right. And then out back is where like the big field is. There's probably like a baseball diamond and some other stuff, like a track, a running track out there. The car is coming from this direction, and it looks like it's driving up between the hill and the building. So it'll come in this way and probably end up in here somewhere.
And so where was Mr. Sakarian, and where are we heading back to? And then where was
everyone? Kate? Everyone was
lost.
Yeah, everyone except Mr. Lost. You're all down here, right? That's where Sakarian. You pulled him out of the rubble. Mr. Lost, you can be in either of these like bushes, basically.
Yeah.
So, with the vehicle approaching, we're not going to cross back over. So we're going to set position in this building, right? So
I mean, you can go into the building. There's a risk. Yeah. There's more booby traps in there. You know.
Well, yeah, but we could at least take position at the crater that was made in the building.
Yeah, yeah, right? or around the corner of the building.
Yeah. Sure.
Either. So as he kind of suggests that, when I say, yeah, affirm that. So let's do that one.
Okay. Around the corner then.
That'll draw fire closer to Mr. Loss. He'll be more likely to hit them that way.
Okay. Cool. All right. So you all come around the corner. And can I get a stealth roll from you, the two of you?
Excellent.
Me?
Yeah, both of you.
Okay. Shit.
And I'll just have the lowest one apply, right? Because it's the least stealthy person.
Is that off dex?
Yeah.
Well, I got a 3 at him.
Okay, so you leave a trail of like blood.
And okay. I got a 3 as well.
All right, good.
High five!
So you're out of sight, but you left the trail, right? They'll find their way to you. So you can see, and I think we see this from Mr. Lost's perspective. We see a Jeep pull up. It doesn't look like the kind of vehicles that, like the occupying force, the Royal Colonials, they have like grav vehicles for the most part. They're all like tech level 5 badasses. So this doesn't look like one of those. It's a desert camo painted, like ground vehicle. It's got tires and everything. There are two people in the front seat. They're wearing similar fatigues, so like desert camo. One of them has just got a undershirt on. They don't have their shirt on. There's a woman driving. She's wearing like aviators. And there's a guy in the back standing up, holding on to a like a Gatling gun, basically, that's built into the back of this Jeep.
Excellent.
A light machine gun.
Yeah, I'll talk at the aviator woman first. I don't
know. So that pulls up here, and they're all wearing like red. They're wearing red bandanas, they pull up and they get out, and I think you can hear them, Mr. Scary. Maybe you can't over the ringing in your ears, but you can hear them talking in Spanish. But it's at a pretty big distance. Mr. Fugazi, do you want to make a perception check to
Spanish?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, they're speaking Spanish.
You mean Japanese?
No, they're speaking Spanish.
Isn't that the people we're here to save?
Sure is.
10.
Okay. All right.
But Adam, does it have like a Japanese tint to it, speaking Spanish? Is it like,
the woman is telling one of the men, whose name is Cesar. She's like, Cesar, check the building. Hurry up. And he's like, well, Ana, obviously someone triggered the trap. They're around here. And she's like, Santiago, stay eyes up. And she's like, look around. Do you see anybody? And so the dude lost. You see the dude on the gun, like, pan it around. And he, like, pans it past you.
We hear this, right?
Yeah, Fugazi hears it. Let's see if he spots you. He does not. The gun like passes over you, and you can feel like you hold your breath, and it like goes past you, and then he's like doesn't see you, and he says, "Nobody up on the hill."
Well, I hear Spanish, right? I hear Spanish.
Yeah.
I kind of look at Mr. Fugazi, then say, "I got this. Translate if I need it, I guess." But stay there.
You and got then I, this.
Walk around the corner. Yeah, it's super suave too. It looks like. Yeah. Walks right in the corner. Like, he has his hands out a little bit like this. He's, you know, not sheathed, but holstered as the plasma gun.
So when they see you come around the corner, Santiago, the gunner, is like, Cesar, Ana, look. And he swings the gun around. And and Ana grabs a laser rifle from the team, like brings up and points it at you. And in Spanish.
Oh, power.
In Spanish, he's like, keep your arms up.
So Sakarian's been here for a little while, yep. Doesn't speak Spanish, but Adam, as a white guy, it's his right to fuck up another language super hard. So he's just like, he goes, me amo, what is, me amo Jefe Sakarian from Fotenhauer. And like a white guy, not knowing Spanish for Fotenhauer, just says it louder and more stern. As a way to obviously right. make it sound like it's a different language.
Okay.
Great.
So she kind of like looks at you and she's like, Fotenhauer. And Cesar is like, it's like, Fotenhauer, see, it's mercenario. And she's like, and she switches to English and she's like, mercenary, huh? Drop your weapons, Sicario. And like points a gun at you.
Sicario.
We're the people your government hired to save you. You realize that?
She shakes her head and she's like, our government is dead. I don't care who hired you. Drop your weapons.
Kind of nods and says, just as long as you understand that if you believe the government to be dead and you ask me to drop my weapons with that gun pointed at me, you're going to die.
I think she laughs and she's like she's like, big talk for a man with a couple of guns pointed at him.
Do we maybe have a code word for me to fire like a warning shot?
Well, you can't. I mean, you can't hear the country music alarm, so
he can. Mr. Loss can't, but I think Mr. Fugazi
could yell really loudly, like code word. But
well, like code hand action, you know.
I think I would take a simul action then and just, you allow me to interpret this, whichever happens first or whatever, but I'm going to dive for cover and shoot my weapon then.
Okay. We'll make an initiative roll. And if you can dive for cover before you get shot at.
What
and
is then initiative I'll, in this game?
It's a D8 plus your dex modifier.
Hey, right. And you so want higher,
roll,
right?
I'll roll for Ana and Santiago, and you can roll for...
Oh, well. Good luck so beating that, you son of a bitch.
That's Ana, and that's Santiago. okay. So,
none of those are two.
So Ana, yeah, you like put your hands up and you're like, and you like dive for it. Lost, why don't you roll an initiative too? And take a plus two, because you're like waiting for shit to go wrong. Cool, okay.
Plus two on that.
All right, six. So Ana. Ana and Lost go at the same time. What are you doing, Mr. Lost?
Do I need to roll?
I'll let you roll after this first okay. batch, because you can't even you can't see Mr. Sicarian, so you just hear a bunch of stuff happen, and then you can.
Fair enough.
How fast does a Gatling gun rotate? Like, is it stationary?
Very fast.
Fast, I guess.
Especially a space one. We're probably talking about 100 rounds every couple of seconds or so.
Okay.
Yeah. So, it's technically a was it like a light machine gun?
Okay. So not a Gatling gun.
So I have my rifle pointed right at the woman's head. I'm just waiting for something to happen or for her to mismove or something like that. But you know,
did she have an advantage for her shot since she was aiming? Like, isn't there
that? Yeah. So what I was thinking here. So if you want. Killing, because your character is a sniper, right?
Yeah.
So the sniper rifles in this game work like a little bit differently. If you want, we can just say that your laser rifle has like a sniper mode or whatever, where we won't increase the damage, but basically on a sniper rifle, if you hit somebody, like if you have time to aim and set up the shot, and if you hit them, regardless of the damage, they just make a save, and if they fail, they die. Okay. So because your character is a sniper, I figure you'd have a rifle that would be for that. So if you want to be like aiming in sniper mode.
Okay. Well, if I know that, then, so I mean, really like the Gatling guy for me seems like the biggest threat, even though, this woman's aiming directly at Mr. Sakarian.
Yeah.
But, if I'm already aimed at her, then, you know, I might as well just shoot her right away and then try to like, and then my next target would just be the Gatling gun guy.
Okay. So who are you firing at?
But although if I switch to the Gatling gun guy now, would I get the same bonus or no?
No. If you've been aiming at Anna while she's talking, she's the one you're sniping.
Okay. Wait, I had to be looking there anyways because she's talking to Mr. S. So.
Yep.
Yeah. So
yeah, I think that's fine.
Sure. Yeah. So she's gonna armor class of let's see. I guess they're not wearing armor. So yeah, she's got armor class of 9.
Okay. Let me find my gun. My rifle. So, do I still have -1? No.
No. You're fine. The day's walk took the edge off the side effects.
Okay. And then do I have bonuses from being sniping?
Yeah. Yeah. Take take another +1 for doing the snipe.
So 1 dex, 1 for that.
Wow. Yep.
Okay.
So this is why the sniper thing matters, because 2 damage wouldn't be enough to kill her if you hadn't set up to snipe first. So let's roll to see. She's gonna make a physical effect save. I need a 15 or better. No, she just dies. Like they didn't know there was a sniper. Like Anna, she sees Sakarian like flinch and goes to pull the trigger and just down. It's gone. And with a laser weapon, it's not like there's an explosion or anything. It's just like there's a tunnel where her brain used to.
I'm just laughing. So,
yeah, so her body's just like, oh, wait, we don't have a brain anymore. Bye. And she's just down.
I'm like replaying the dialogue in my head. You know, first they come up and they're like, well, there's no sniper up there in the grass. And then she's like, what are you going to do, Mr. Sakarian? You know, with all these guns pointed at you. So I'm just laughing. I guess my ring's like kind of maybe gleaming in the moonlight.
So
it's got the
immediately Cesar and Santiago like put their hands up. They surrender. They're like Cesar sees what happens and he's just like, Jesus Christo, and like puts his hands up and is like shaking his head like, nope, we don't want to fight. We're done. Like. So he surrenders. So Mr. Sakarian, you don't even have to like jump out of the way. I think Fugazi, you can hear them saying like he's saying we surrender in Spanish, basically over and over, like he doesn't want to get shot.
I say like I have my gun on him then. I say, Mr. Fugazi, if you could please come out here and translate.
Yep. I like come out.
Convey to them that we'll be having need of their trucks and weapons, but they're free to make their way out of here unarmed.
And I convey that.
So as you're walking up,
very politely, by the way,
Cesar has like dropped to his knees and is like cradling the woman's body like in his hands, and he's like he's pulled his bandana off and like thrown it on the ground, and he's like crying. There's like streaks on his dirty face. And he keeps saying, like, my sister, my beautiful sister, what have you done?
I think almost like one of those awkward scenes from Cops, which, of course, we've all watched before. straight-laced Sakarian, but also, you know, cross-path Sakarian, still ask Mr. Fugazi to basically, like, dot the I's and cross the T's and just tell him that we're going to be taking all their weapons when it's, like, very obvious that that guy has anything else on his mind at all. But... he's just kind of like looking down and like, okay, that's taken care of. And then he like signals up to the group and I guess we just take the truck.
Yeah. And so they come out and take the like weapons away from them. And, Cesar, this dude, because you seem to understand him, Fugazi. He's like, we didn't know we saw people with weapons, and you don't know what it's like here. The colonists, they've destroyed everything that we own. We're just trying to protect our community. And he's like, you know, his sister's dead. And Santiago, he's just kind of like in shock. He's not saying anything. He just steps down from the Jeep and like backs away.
Do you translate this?
Translate everything like word for word.
Okay. As he's doing that, then picture Sakarni, he's on the back, like checking and like literally probably like touches shoulders with the guy stepping off the truck from the machine gun, just like walks past him. He's like checking the load, making sure it's clean, making sure the machine gun's gonna shoot. He's like, and you're saying this to him. He says, please tell him the next time they encounter Fotenhauer, not a good idea to point weapons and threaten their lives. That'd be good.
Yeah. So yeah, I tell him, I say, but you know, I butter it up a little bit, like
add some humanity.
Yeah. Like Fotenhauer is an organization that really is out for everyone's best interest. And you know what? In a situation where you might have your guns poised at them, it would be wise to go ahead and lower them. They're not going to outright kill you. We're not outlaws, and we're not just crazy pirates. So like, go through this whole thing.
Fotenhauer's here for you.
It's like recruitment, just word, just like coming out. Like, we're the best.
Right. So you, I mean, yeah, you,
in the world.
Like, exactly. You flash back to like a meeting with one of the suits, and there's like a classroom full of Marines, and there's this dude in a tie with like a big, there's a big like I think like a hologram projector of like the Fotenhauer PR mascot, like Fody the Bear, and it's like a bear in power armor, and it's like, Fody the Bear's here to help, and like, how to deal with like insurgent populace, and like,
all right,
all these like talking
just to points. Be clear, in his drug-addled mind, yes, maybe he sees that, but yeah. No, Fotenhauer doesn't have a mascot.
No, they sure as fuck don't. No. I mean, they're like, yeah, they're like the French Foreign Legion. Like, if we kill somebody you don't like it, get fucked. Like, too bad. Fucked. Cry about it. But yeah, okay. So what do you want to do here? You just want him basically to be like, to take this back to the other members of his community and be like, we ran into some Fotenhauer guys. Anna ran her mouth and got killed, but like, these guys are dangerous and stay out of their way. Like, that's what you're trying to like.
So I think like, as you know, as the grunts are coming down and Mr. Loss, and we're kind of loading up the truck and we're all excited about this. I kind of noticed that he's still just cradling her dead body and dead. And Mr. Fugazi is speaking a bunch of Spanish. I don't understand, but I get like from the tone, I get that he's giving the like, Fotenhauer's here to save you. Fotenhauer's a great group. Fotenhauer has your best interest in mind.
Yeah,
Fotenhauer.
Exactly.
Because I hear like,
Fotenhauer is no bueno.
Fotenhauer, yeah. And I'm picking up a little bit of it, and I kind of come over, and in the way that only Sakarian can show affection, he like pulls out a sidearm pistol and drops it in front of him and is like, I want you to have that.
You put it in front of Cesar?
Yeah.
And I explained, like,
he looks at the pistol, and then he looks at you, Fugazi, like, why is he, what does he want me to do with that?
I go into again, like, straight out of a textbook, like, Fotenhauer would never leave you in a situation where you would not be able to protect yourself, and so we are leaving you this firearm in order to be, you know, to make sure that you can return safely to your, you know.
Yeah, if you teach, if you give a man a fish, he will eat for a day. If you teach a man to kill fish with a plasma rifle, he'll live forever. Okay, yeah. So he picks it up and like tucks it into his coat, and he like looks down at his sister, and he's just like, I guess he actually picks her up, because he's gonna like carry her back if you're taking the Jeep. And PK walks over, and she's been like watching this whole thing. And she's just like, when you say that, like he gets this like stoic look in his face, he like picks his sister up in this big like kind of like dramatic moment for him, and PK is like, oh, boo-hoo, Civvy, fuck you. And he looks at her and kind of like, he doesn't understand what she says, but he understands the tone and kind of like glares at her.
Backhand her.
And he turns to Santiago and he says like, he's like, come on, let's go.
And I think the two of them turn. It would show Sakari like with his hands on hips, like feeling like he did this really good thing. He's just like, it feels good to serve the people. Let's load up and let's get to our objective then, please.
Yeah, so you're like loading up the Jeep, and PK says to you, Mr. Gain, she's like, man, no wonder these people are getting their ass kicked. A bunch of babies.
He's like, well, keep in mind, they don't have the military training that we do, and that's why they called us in. So I understand your choleric attitude, and I appreciate it for the situations that it's needed, but when we're serving the people, try to remember that we're here because they can't defend themselves, and that's how we make our money. So looking down upon the people that pay us is not wise.
She shrugs, and she's like, yeah, man, you and Fugazi do the talking, but when it's time to kick ass, you let me know. And she like jumps into the back. If nobody's already on the gun, she's like, dibs.
Okay. So Kreiner was definitely like, he had his hand there, but she does that. And he's like, all right, respect. Okay. And then he just gets into the, you know, passenger seat.
Okay. So Lost, what are you doing while they're getting everything ready?
I think I'm just going to sit in the back and just like lean against the cab in the front. Just kind of like clean my gun.
Okay. Yeah, it's got seats in the back for two, and then there's the two seats in the front. So there's no space.
Well, you know, who would expect an extra person on this car on the
ground? There's room for you. You can totally
I'll just sit on the ground.
Okay, fine.
You'll be like, wow, there's like five guys only, not six.
Well, no, five is enough though, because there's a machine gun on the back, like
yeah,
the bed.
Yeah.
PK so is you missed, and PK, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Fugazi driving and me and the passenger.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So you have a vehicle now. You got this Jeep. It's a little loud. The fuel cell probably is like a third full. So it might not get you all the way there, but it can definitely get you as far as like the next place to stop, right? It'll get you as far as that mall if you stick to the road. Cool.
That's all right. Plan.
Well, let's take our last break here then as the Jeep heads off into the distance, the ruined community center all banged up in behind.
Just real quick, the sound on the tape, did it sound like the woman that we killed?
No, it sounded like an older man.
Okay.
Yeah, the true nature of that call might never be revealed. On a name, but she's dead. So, all right.
Swan song stories.
That's right. Stick around. More Swan song stories when we get back.